thinking about self-publishing and don't know where to start? Join the Spa Girls each week for an info-packed podcast filled with honest advice, tips, and resources. I'm Trudy J.
I'm Shah Barrett.
I'm Cheryl Phelps.
I'm Wendy Heller.
I don't know what I just said then. I just read it out.
Promises to be a great podcast.
It's already started really well.
It is a good podcast because it's just about us.
So this week we decided to talk about launch strategies. And conveniently for us, Wendy has just launched a book. So we're basically just going to interview you, Wendy. So you're going to have to do a lot of talking. Hopefully your voice will hold out for the course of the podcast. So it's officially called Launch Strategies with famous author Wendy Valla. And
famous part.
And is in bestseller and USA Today bestseller, Wendy Valla.
So, Wendy, can you set the scene for us? Like, which book are we talking about?
And so this book that I've just released on I've written it somewhere, the actual date. I do believe it was the 9th of July, yes. 9th of July, and it's called Defending Danger, and it's actually book 10 in the series that I've been, my longest running series. You don't usually get quite as much traction in book 10 because a lot of people are like, oh, book 10, God, does that mean I have to go back and read the first 9, you know. So we knew this is the case, so we've got a few processes in place that we like to sort of go through.
What's the series that it is?
Sinclair and Raven series. So this is a sort of got a slight touch of paranormal in it, but it's historical romance.
Okay, so it's historical romance, which is your better selling side of
series.
People love your historicals.
Yeah. Yeah, this is probably the best-selling series I've got, but it could be because there's so many of them too.
Okay. And it's in a series, so let's start out. So let's talk about what you did before launch and how long ago did you start and, you did pre-order. Is that right?
So we do a pre-order, and you're going to ask me when I started that, and I can't remember. I believe it is a 3-month pre-order. This might have been 4 months. So we do a 4-month pre-order. And then what I do is I will then obviously put it on the back of all the other books, and then I don't really do a lot of hype for it until probably 2 or 3 weeks out because people tend to forget. But a lot of people have already will sort of sign up on Amazon to follow me, and then they'll get an alert to say it's there. So
How many pre-orders would you have before you start doing the amp up? Do you know, or is that?
I usually probably around. I probably had 1,200, something like that.
She says casually.
And then we start to sort of amp it up with sending out newsletters, and I do a whole bunch of. Can I come onto your email newsletter, do an email newsletter swap, or I'll do some Facebook posts on other groups and stuff like that. So I start that up sort of 2 or 3 weeks out, and I just start, people to sort of just get a little bit of hype around it. I then do a whole lot of tiles up. Well, I don't, myself and my daughter who works for me, we do a whole lot of graphics, and those graphics have got, quotes. So as I finish the book, when I do a final pass, I'll take out all of the quotes that I think will make really good, punchy sort of excerpts for people to want to read. So I do that. And then we try to keep our graphics very similar for each book. So this is a green looking book. I've put it up here for those that are there. So the graphics are very sort of in tune the whole way through. They all look similar. So when people see it on my page, they go, bang, that's a Defending Danger graphic. I also have a reader group which has quite a few people in it, and that I hype up in there, and those are like real super fans who want to sort of chat about it and what's coming, and so I will interact with them.
So let's pause. And so how many people in that reader group do you
know? You're going to ask me that question.
If you don't know off the top of your head, don't worry, but is it less than 1,000 or
less than
more than 500 sort of
around about there? I think we're getting close to that now.
So
those guys are the real sort of like super fans, I suppose you would call them, who chat amongst themselves about, who's excited about it, rah, 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 things like that.
But you also have your own Facebook group.
Yeah, and I've got my author page, the author Facebook group, but I've found that since the iOS update, that's lost a lot of, I don't get as many views on it as I used to. I used to get a lot of interaction on that. I don't, but I still post on it. I will do a TikTok, a couple of TikToks, and just like, they're just like, this is coming. This is, you know, heads up, this is coming. I do a lot of Instagram posts. Look, I don't know the value of these things, but I always go by the rule of thumb that put it out there, people might see it, you know, and keep seeing it. And you just, you know, that's the way I sort of look at it.
So can we slow down? Because you're going through this stuff really fast. And I'm aware that people might not understand exactly what you're talking about. So let's go back to the newsletter. So how often
can do you ask one question first?
Sure.
What price point is this book?
$4.99. And it was a full price launch, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
And are you wide or are you in KU with the series?
KU.
Okay, let's talk about that in a minute.
And how long would the book be?
About 80,000 words.
Cool. I think it's all relevant when we're talking about how well it's done.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the kind of thing we would normally have asked in a proper interview. So I'm clearly not. Yeah.
Clearly, I don't justify a
proper
interview.
Don't rate that. Yeah, we just going to put you off the cuff.
But it's still going to be gold.
Okay.
So your newsletter. So how often do you send your newsletter out?
So I've sent fortnightly. I have two lists for historicals, sort of the real hardcore and then the less hardcore. And I sort of sent a percent to both, the same email to both. And so I'll send that once a fortnight, like I say.
Send it more often when you're doing a launch?
No, you still when I launch on the day of launch, I send mine. So launch day.
I just wanted to pause that on the newsletter list because that will also be something that people, what do you mean by hardcore and not hardcore?
Okay, so you should know this.
I can answer it for you, but do you want me to answer it for you?
Go for it.
Okay, so when we set up Wendy's, so this is back in the day that I was helping Wendy, we set up two email lists for her. One was the organic list where it's people that are signing up thanks to bonus contact or in the back of her book. So what we would call as really warm people. The other list is people that she's done like book sweeps, kind of contests and things like that. So people that have maybe gotten through a giveaway, not necessarily through that they don't necessarily know about Wendy's book. So it's sort of what you call a cooler list. And that way you can either create different content for both or use the same, but it just kind of ring boxes people a little bit more. And I think, I mean, you can do this in other email programs. Wendy uses MailChimp, but you can do it in other ones by tagging people as well. It doesn't have to be two separate lists, but it's just back in the day when we did this probably close to 10 years ago and you set them up, there wasn't any tagging ability. So just to clarify.
So these and the people that would sign up for the sort of cooler one are the people that, bonus epilogues, like I wrote a bonus epilogue in my last book and then I'll put in at the bottom of the bonus epilogue, if you want to get into the next book, boom, go there, so there's all that sort of lukewarm just to see how they sit before we transfer them over. So that's and then on the day of release I will send it an email and it'll just be
do you tease it in the like how many building you start up. It 2 months before or just a couple of emails?
Probably a month before I would, because I have quite busy newsletters. You know, rule of thumb is you don't put too much in them. I'm terrible, I do. So I'll do a bit of a chat, then I'll come down and say on the writing front, and this is like an excerpt from Defending, and then I'll put something else underneath that I'm going to like swap someone or put another author in. But I mean, I think it's important. I get a lot of replies from my email newsletters. I get a lot of people coming back to me and going, really excited about this book, have pre-ordered, can't wait, you know. So I know that that's working. So that's about it. So I sort of rule of thumb for me is sort of 3 or 4 weeks out, I'll start sort of slowly amping covers, graphics, you know, stuff like that. But do you want to go into the actual week?
I want to still talk about other things. So doing swaps, like how many swaps will you do? Are you looking for comparable authors?
So in this one, I have about 10. And so they're at different times. So all of those guys are under one lady, does all the swaps for these stable of authors that I use. So I'll just go to her and say to her, hey, what have you got for me? And she'll send me out all of her authors' sign-ups and I'll go, okay, I'll take this and this. Sometimes I'll do a takeover on their Facebook page. Sometimes I'll go into a group and do a giveaway, that sort of thing. And so I sort of start that. It's so usually with an email newsletter sign up, I quite like to do it on just after so that I can actually buy the book, because a lot of people don't want to pre-order if they don't know you through. Yeah. But occasionally, if it's someone, you know, they can't fit me in, I'll do it the week before. So sort of 2 or 3 weeks before and a week or so after, I'll do all these swaps, and then I obviously do them as well. So they'll send me a book, so it's a swap situation. Mm. I find this quite beneficial because those authors' readers know me now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing this with them for 5 books.
And so just to clarify for anybody new, what she means by a swap, we're not swapping mailing lists here. What you're doing is swapping a space in that author's mailing list down the bottom of the newsletter with a feature on your book. And you
free advertising, to be fair. I mean, and my name is probably now such that people know me and they'll go, oh, Wendy Beller. And if they've read one of my books, they go, oh, I'll take a chance on here again, because I've read one of hers if I liked it, or if I didn't, I won't, you know.
Yeah.
So I've got that on my side a little bit, I think. I think that's a huge part of, for me, free advertising, if we're being honest. So, yeah, and then leading in, so what I would send them then, I would send them a cover, I would send them a link, and I would send them an excerpt or the blurb, whatever they want, and I'll just send that through. And it's usually
do you have all of that just set up all ready to go? Like, do you have a folder, you know, like those?
My name is not Cheryl. Yeah, I do have an A4 page and a daughter who's so she'll say to me, oh, hang on, what's happened there? My thing's just shut down. There we go. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Stupid Siri just came on and said, what are you talking about? Oh,
well, nosy.
So we have a folder and it'll have excerpts, final files, any information with links, rah, rah, rah. That's all in Dropbox in the defending folder, and that's where it sits. So I can just go in there and get it from there. That's how that works. Yeah.
Awesome. And so you talked about doing some Facebook posts. So you've got a Facebook page and a Facebook group. Is there anywhere else? Would you, and so you do some swaps with other groups.
Yeah.
And then in those two places on Facebook, you'd be doing your
I try to keep them different. I like to think that my reader group gets different content from my Facebook page. I just think that that's important, that they think that they're different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to swap across. It's like when we get to giveaways, we'll talk about it. But if they're getting something, I want them to get it before the author group gets it. Because they're
author page,
author page gets it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the week before, we'll post a couple of posts, just like one or two. Hey, next week, you know, who's excited? Not really too much, just lead in. And then the day before release, I always post the first chapter of the book. That is just something I do. So it'll be put on my Facebook page. It'll be first chapter of Defending Danger. And they can click on that link and go and read it. So that's what I do.
Is it on your website? They click a link to go to your website.
That's right. Yeah, sorry. So I'll do that first in the reader group, and then I'll do it in my Facebook page. And so that just sort of get them hyped up a little bit. You know, hey, if you want to read it, here's the link. Get in, have a look. I think that's great for advertising. I do that. I also send that on the week of to my email newsletter. You know, that's something they would get. So, and I have found this quite good, because it just gets people to have a little tester of you. And people who don't know your writing, it's quite good for them to have a read of it, you know.
So do you post it, do you paste the whole text in the newsletter, or do you just give them the link to read it?
Give them the link, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that works really well, and I'll get a lot of replies on that. Oh, this sounds good. This, you know, rah, rah, rah. And, of course, the people are invested because they followed me through sort of 9 books. And they'll be like, right into it, you know.
Yeah.
And so then I find that I'll get sort of another 500 pre-orders or so leading in from all of this hype. So that's sort of probably the lead in. We do a few Facebook pre-order ads if Facebook works and they're not shutting me down. I'll do that. Lead it coming in.
Who do you target on those Facebook ads? Do you just target people that already have interacted you and know you?
Dinah Gabaldon, believe it or not, is a really good target for me. See, because you've got to remember, when you're targeting ads, don't get all hooked up about the fact that it needs to be a writer like you. Because, look, if you think of all of us, we all read different stuff, right?
Mm.
That's something to remember. I'll read right across the board for authors. So just because someone reads Dinah Gabaldon, they might like your book. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So this is the thing that I had to learn with Facebook ads. So that's, we'll just target a whole lot of people. We'll keep it real low budget, you know, like probably $5, $10 a day because it's a pre-order and a lot of people won't take a punt on a pre-order and an ad if they see you. So that's just to keep it visual. It's all about the visual.
And how long are you running that ad for?
Probably a couple of weeks. Three weeks before.
Yeah.
Do you do any other advertising on the pre-order or is it just Facebook ads?
Just Facebook ads.
Yeah. And when you get launch day, so what's happening on launch day?
But pre to launch day two, I'll try and get a book bub in the first in series or second in series. All these books stand alone, even though they're a series. So I'll try and get a 99-cent or a free book bub.
And this one you did have a book bub but a month earlier, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so was that on purpose or that was just
what they give you, you know, like, yeah. I mean, you don't want to be awkward with BookBub. You just, if they tell you they want your firstborn child, then you give it to them. You know, it's just.
I'm thinking maybe that's bad advice, Wendy, that maybe we shouldn't be
advocating children.
No, not advocating to give your children away.
So
for me, I throw it at them and I said, hey, just whenever you can put it in, that's great.
And how do you decide whether you're going to ask for pre or 99 cents?
If I was wide, I would 99 cents because it's a real pain to try to get free when you're wide. But you can do it. But, if you're at the lap of Amazon gods, that they'll actually put your book to free. For me, free really works. But also I sometimes think things have changed. The landscape's changed a little bit. So 99 cent works too. And quite often if someone's investing money on your book, they're a lot more likely to read it and go on and read the rest. Whereas a free book, I don't know what you're like. If you're free, you'll go, oh, I'll buy that and read it at some stage. It can just sit on my Kindle. Whereas a 99 cent, So for me, both have worked. I find page reads really, really good and they grow a lot from anything BookBub related. And I don't know how that works, but Kindle page reads grow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I always find second, third, fourth, all my series just takes off if I get a BookBub.
Yeah. So that's important to have really good read through on your series and make sure that those books are, strong back matter and call to actions to take you to the next book in the series and things like that.
Yeah.
Can I just touch on the process of getting your books out there to ARC readers and reviewers?
Yep. So we have quite a few ARC readers. So probably 3 weeks before the ARCs go out.
That's advanced reader copies.
We'll go into Book Funnel and we'll put it in the email or send an email out to all the ARCs and say who wants it. Then they come in, then we load them into Book Funnel and send them out. So with this one, I think we had, 80 ARCs went out and we still had people coming in afterwards to do it. But what this did is I always put the print book up 2 weeks before or at least a week and a half before so that you give the ARCs 2 weeks to read it or whatever, and then you give them the link to the print book so they then go in and review the book because those reviews will come across to your Kindle book when they come up. So, so that's for me a little bit of social proof. If you can get some reviews up on that first day or even beforehand, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think, like I said, I put it out on the release was 9th of July and I've already got 140 reviews on that book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from ARCs.
And where are these people reviewing for you?
So mainly Amazon, because I'm only on Amazon with this, but then they'll do, some are just BookBub, and they'll do Goodreads, BookBub, and Amazon mainly on this one. I get a few people on Insta, will post a review on there and send me the link and say, hey, I reviewed your book, here's the review, Wendy Bella, rah, rah, rah. But I just find, a lot of people like the social proof of a review. If you go and buy a book on Amazon, it's got no reviews, you're sort of like, this book's been out a while. Why has it got no reviews?
Yeah. And you think about if you're on Instagram and you see someone who's not the author reviewing a book and they like it, even TikTok. I mean, I guess that's why TikTok is so popular, because you've got independent people saying this is a good book, and you're more likely to believe that than the author telling you to go buy your book. So
absolutely. Yeah. The word of mouth thing is so important still these days, isn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't even have to be someone you know or like or trust. It's just someone else tells you to go buy a
somebody.
Book.
And that's where BookBub comes in too. You know, like I had that first book in this series, which is book one out of the 10, I had that BookBub and I had 900 reviews on that book for a while, and I'm now over 1,000 on BookBub, you know?
That's amazing.
That's a huge target, isn't it?
Yeah. So just to clarify, with the ARC readers, that won't necessarily come up on the reviews with verified review, but they'll still be able to give their stars in the review. I'm not entirely sure that makes a big difference for the average reader looking at.
Well, they always
people
say
don't even notice whether that's there or not,
it does or not. You know?
And often you'll find too, I think that the really stalwart fans of yours will often go out and buy the copy anyway. They'll review under that, which is much better.
And their rereaders, a lot of the people in this series, like have said to me before, especially in my reader group, they'll say to me, hey, I'm just rereading the whole series to get ready for the next book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that I'm a reread. If people want to reread my work, I think it's so buzzy.
Especially if they're in KU.
For real. Yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah. Compliment.
Yeah. So, and then on release day, we start the real hype. And that's, yay, it's release day. So I'll do a video of me looking stupid going, hey, it's release day and aren't we excited and whoop whoop.
You sound really excited right now, I have to say. Can you hold
it up again? I've never seen her do whoop whoop yet.
And go slowly. Yeah.
So I'll do have the book or a cover, and I'll just say, hey guys, I just want to say thank you so much for all the love and all the reviews and rah rah rah. So that's just me chatting and saying, hey. That night I'll do a cheers with some glasses or whatever, and then I'll do that on, I'll do a TikTok and I'll do an Insta and whatever, just sort of shoot that everywhere. And then that week we sort of start with, hey guys, this is the reviews coming and here's a review. You know, if you look at what, you know, a bit of social proof, and then we'll do a giveaway, which is usually a book and a mug or a mug on its own or a couple of books or whatever, and I'll just ask them a question. About absolutely nothing to do with the book quite often. Today it was about what's their favorite dessert.
Is that in the group?
Both. It's always the group first. So the group got it yesterday, and a day before yesterday, the author page gets it today. And so that's, you know, get in there. I'll do it next week. I'll do it on my email newsletter list. They'll get a giveaway as well. And then we celebrate the book, and it's pretty much just like, you know, me coming in and talking or you know, giveaways, releases, blurbs, someone else talking about, like Sophie, my daughter, will come into the group and go, hey guys, mum's going to do a live chat in here. Thanks, Sophie. In a couple of days, get your questions ready, you know, and stuff like that. So that's, We'll build that.
So you're still, basically it's about keeping the conversation going, isn't it? So there'll be other people that still get kind of caught up into it. Because nobody wants to feel like they're missing out, do they?
No, you know? And they don't want to be part of the conversation. You know? You want to keep it boosting. So I quite, you know, like it always hits around, it's always in the top, you know, a few hundred, but it's always usually hitting around in the top five, top four of, that's what I want for Regency Historical Romance. And so I got a new release, Orange Tag, for about 3 days.
Just to clarify, this is on Amazon, and this is on the bestseller list for that category.
Yeah. So just in new releases. So I think so far we've got something like 400,000 page reads already on that book. I think there's like nearly 200 sold. So over and above the sort of 1,700 pre-orders, we've sold a couple hundred more. But really it's the page reads that have been rocketing with this one.
And just to timestamp this is that's 4 days from launch that you're at that point, just to timestamp that. Just going back just a little bit, in terms of giveaways, what is it that you're giving away? Because we're in New Zealand and it's so expensive to post things. So how do you get around that?
I mean, I do a print book. I don't sign it clearly, but I need to
get some book. So you just order it on Amazon and send them the print book?
Yeah, and then I've got some mugs.
Yeah, you know, so that's through Cafe Press that you can get sent from directly.
And then I'll, you know, rack up a little bit about, especially the series, you know, are you Team Raven or are you Team Sinclair? You know, like there's a whole lot of sort of other angles because there's so many books in the series you can go down as well with it. And as I say, the live will be coming up, you know, whether anyone joins me at the time of day. It's a bit hard when we're in New Zealand, but that they can look at that later. And you know, the thing about it is, how big or small you are, people like that personal interaction. They want to see their author. They want to chat to their author. They want to get to know their author. And I think everyone can be a private person, but it's okay to give a little bit. I think that invests people a little bit more into you and your brand and your books. That's just my take on
it. And I also think if listeners are coming in here and thinking, oh, well, you know, of course she can do that because now she's, you know, this prolific author and she's, you know, got to this stage in her career. We're talking 10 books in this series alone already. Wendy started the ball rolling years ago to get to this stage. So everything she's doing now is come from what she's achieved over time. It didn't just happen. And but, you know, certainly I think it's inspirational to hear how somebody is going with the flow and picking up different ways of doing things that we never ever heard about when we all first started.
And just to follow on from that, so I was involved with Wendy, I mean I'm still involved with Wendy, but right back at the beginning when we started off your art list, I mean there were 10 people. We just sent, you know, sent out a request to maybe a few hundred on your newsletter list at that point to say who would like to be a review reader. I mean, you have to be careful. You can't, in terms of your wording, you know, they still have to be free to, you know, leave an honest review or not. You can't require somebody to leave a review. But that's how, and it started with 10 people. Yeah. So, yes, she's got, you know, several hundred now, but it wasn't like that. So all you need to do is just start with one or two. And to be honest, if you're starting out, say five reviews when you first, you know, when your book goes out, that's good. You know, it's really just to get that little, you know, those stars and a little bit of social proof.
I also want to touch on BookBub, if I could. Just, sure. I think people underrate BookBub. For me personally, it's massive because I've got 5,000 followers on BookBub now, so they all get an email to say that book's coming out. It's like Goodreads. It's a little bit the same as I didn't touch on Goodreads, but I always do a Goodreads giveaway. Now, so what it is the print book. We start it, you know, probably a month or 3 weeks before, and what they do is they'll sign up for a print book giveaway. You have to pay for the giveaway, but they sign up for it. And then it goes onto their bookshelf. And then as soon as that book's released, they get an email. All those people, like I think I got 2,500 people signing up, they all get an email to say that book's gone live.
So just to clarify that the author has to pay for that, not the book to sign up. How much approximately is that at the moment? Can you remember offhand?
$200 and
Is it $100?
I think it's $99 for just an ebook, or I think it's $199 or
$179
for print.
$179, that's what
I do. Do you have a preference?
I do print, but that's just because I want my book to sit on their coffee table or wherever else, but that's just me. So, but the BookBub thing's massive because that email going out. But also what BookBub do is they do new release alerts. And so you can pay for those. And BookBub have now bought another one. And so you can do one at the start of your pre-order and one at the end. So you can pay for them. And I've, over time, found them quite good.
So that goes out to you. That goes out to your followers too, doesn't it? So it's the 5K people that you. And
you have to have over 1,000 people on BookBub to be able to do it.
Over 1,000 followers on BookBub.
And I'll also say that when you do your paid one, which is not that expensive, it only goes to US.
So you could pick up K. Do you notice? Is it pre-orders or is it KU reads for
pre-order release.
Oh, pre-order, but yeah. You won't be coming here, of course. Yeah.
But as I say, they'll send out, Amazon will send out a, oh, Wendy Bella's got a new release, so you know. And then I always notice a bit of a bump when that book bub, and then the Goodreads, and then it'll just bump again, you know.
So the Amazon one, it's for people that have clicked follow.
Followers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Book bub is also for wide. So even though we're talking about this particular book of Wendy's, which is in KU, you can apply this to wide.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I always find the series starts to tick up a bit again, because they can all be read a little standalone, but there's a lot of characters in there, so they can go back and read it. And I just find the series starts to get a little bit more hype again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you do any Amazon advertising?
Yes. Once it's out. Mm-hmm. Once it's out, we kick in the Amazon ads, and away we go. BookBub ads, I'll do those as well. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about my, like an ad in the ads platform. I'm not talking about the, whatever they call deal. Yeah, yeah, feature deals. I'm talking about ads. So we'll do those. But I find those work best only for specials, freebies, or new releases. I don't find that they work well as a constant ongoing thing. That could be genre related, but that's just what I find. So I'll do that, and keep those ticking for sort of a week or two until they start to die. So that's pretty much what I do, because really I think the key is you really want the algorithms to kick in. You want it to be hitting them, because as soon as they do, Amazon will see it and go, oh, this book seems to be doing it.
Yeah.
I'll just buy this out a little bit. Mm. And that's what you want to do.
It's not enough if you want to make money to just put your book up there.
Mm.
And hope.
I think that's what maybe people listening to this will learn, that it's not just a matter of you just going, look, here's my book, sitting back and waiting for it. It's actually quite a lot of work goes into the lead up, and then in the actual launch day, and even after the launch day, there is a lot of stuff going on. Can I just ask, so you've got the BookBub stuff, you've got the Goodreads giveaway, you've got other stuff happening. Do you try and time those out? Do you kind of say, you know what, this is when the BookBub thing is going to go on, and this is going to try and close the Goodreads giveaway this day or whatever? Is it
not really? We just chuck it all out there, and all the balls in the air, and hope for the best. But we have a new release strategy that we write up beforehand, and we both follow that to the letter, like right down to posting. I'll look at, what am I posting today? I'll just go in and say, oh, well, I'm posting this today. What's she posting today? And we follow that every time. While it might seem the same, it seems to work better. And I'm someone who I don't like to have too many balls in the air. I like to have a definitive path, and bam, that's what I'm following, and that's what I'm doing. And I my daughter is very analytical, and she does all of that side of things. She's just like, boom, 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 this is what we're doing. And she keeps me on, surely, mommy, and go, what was that? Pull that down immediately. What are you thinking? That sort of thing. So, no, it helps. It helps. I like to have a direction, as I say, and having that list on Monday, we're posting this, Tuesday, we're posting this, Wednesday, we're posting this. It really works. So it just takes the guesswork out. Yeah.
So somebody could do that themselves. You could do a little brainstorming session with yourself or a couple of author friends if you haven't got an assistant, just to work out what you're going to post. Because it does, it's like sitting in front of the blank screen, isn't it? If you're sitting in front of the Facebook post, you're, what am I going to say?
And it's also some little things, right, that we forget to do. Changing your Facebook header to say released instead of pre-order.
Yeah.
There's
updating
so many.
Your website.
Updating your website, and of course I do bonus epilogues on everything now. Quite often I will have a section on my website now that says bonus epilogues for people that struggle to be able to work out how to do it. So they can go there. So she'll do that, and she'll put that chapter there, and she'll do this and do it. And so it's just all about, it's all those little things. There's actually a lot to do.
There's a lot to release.
And, I've got 50 books, so there's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you get time to write, quite frankly.
That was going to be my question. So somebody listening to this, they're going to say, well, what are you doing? Like, is this all you're doing for 3 weeks? Like, what, how are you managing this along with your normal writing schedule? Because you're writing the next book, aren't you, while this is going on?
Yeah. I mean, I have, I tried, like this year I'll be 5 books, I think I'll release.
So that's 5 full length books.
And probably one novella.
And
actually.
One novella. So,
with that, Because I've just started wrapping up a few series, you know, like I've wrapped up a contemporary series because I also write under another name with contemporaries, and I've wrapped up, I don't want to say this too loud, but there's only one more book in this series. There'll be a backlash over that. One more book in this series. I've finished another series. There's a few series that I'm wrapping up which have been running for a long time.
Yeah.
So that's been quite good. So I will probably fine tune those down a bit and just write two historicals and one contemporary series going forward instead of all these various channels going off in different directions. So yeah, five. I try to do down the five. Maybe even my writing schedule finishes in August this year. So what I'm hoping to do is write two more books before the end of the year and start next year and just have that pressure off a little bit, you know, like.
But the basis of what you're doing is actually trying to meet and fulfill reader expectations by giving them a book, the next book in the series. So they're actually already, by the time they finish this one, looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, and I mean, there is a reader expectation, but I think as an author, you've got to temper that because I always want to make everyone happy. You know, like my husband's got this real big thing. If I get an email or messages from writers, readers, she said to me, you don't have to answer that straight away, mate. Take a step back, answer it tomorrow. You know, like for me, I'm like, I must answer this. These people have taken the time to message me, so I must answer. He's like, tomorrow's fine, love. You know, and he's right, but that's that I need to, you know. And if there's an expectation that a book needs to come out, then I want to get that book out to them. And that's just, yeah, I've always been a little bit like that. I don't know if it's a healthy way to be, but yeah.
But it really helps with sales in essence because
every 3 months.
Yeah, you've got a book coming, so that you are meeting reader expectations, even if you want to push back.
Because I'm writing contemporary as well, so not really. Do you know what I mean? So we've probably only got three historicals and two contemporaries this year. Which is not huge, but
that's so slick. Yeah,
yeah it is.
You can look yourself in the mirror in the morning with that kind of slacker's attitude.
But because I'm where I'm am at, it's okay because I've got these readers now. I'm not starting out. I would not recommend someone starting out to have those two genres. You know, like originally Shah and I. Well, she came to the decision that you need to write these historicals until you get your self up and running and then write the contemporaries, and it was the right thing to do. So spreading yourself too thin, you know. And that's why I think it's important to just establish yourself in one genre before you start another. And now the historical genre is going well, I'm now focusing on getting the contemporary genre up and running, you know.
And you've got a number of series running in the historical genre, or you've had them over the years, different ones, so it's not like you're writing in the same series the whole
that's
time.
That's right. And I think the thing is also, if you get a reader comes in and picks up one of your books and likes it, there is another 40 odd books for them to read now. So there isn't that need for me to go, I've got to get another book for them to read, you know, because there's quite a lot going on in the background for them to read anyway.
And also, just to clarify, when you say that you want to get your contemporaries up and running, they are in fact up and running, just not doing as well as the historicals.
That's right.
Awesome.
So
You were going to say something. Come on.
I was just saying, you know, like changing the name, that's a different name too. And I think that was a huge plus. I think it was the right thing to do. Building a complete new brand because it doesn't sort of interact. Okay, there was crossover insofar as it's families and series, and it's the way I write. But separating them out was probably the best thing to do going forward.
The two names.
It's awesome. A big task because you're then running two different author personas, if you like, including all the websites, social media and everything else and the websites, etc. But I think it does. Whilst romance readers tend to read across, you know, all kinds, it is two different audiences.
I think historical romance readers are a little bit different too. I think contemporary is a bigger pool. There's a lot of genres or tropes within that contemporary pool, whereas I don't think there are quite as many. If I was to say an age group of my readers, probably even 60 up, you know, like for historicals, whereas the contemporaries are a little bit younger again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, yeah. And I mean, I look at get new releasing fast is an awesome way to go. And I have done that this year with a new series that I wrote three books in, and that went really well. It's the best series basically for three books that I've ever had.
Mm. And that is the
Devil Brothers series.
Devil Brothers.
So that, yeah, that was taken away from the release just very quickly. So I basically just did a very short pre-order on the first one. The second book was already written, and bam, it came out, and I got 2,500 pre-orders on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's already up something like 800 reviews on one of them and stuff. So that's gone crazy. So it just shows, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the second book. That's not so, you know, it.
Yeah. The second and third have done very well in that series. Yeah. So sorry, moving away from new releases.
So if you've got, so I think we need to sort of wrap this up here now. But what I think we've given everyone heaps to think about. There's loads of information here. But if there's a piece of advice, something that you want to,
I knew you're going to do that.
Let our readers know about about launches. Like if they're thinking of or they're planning the next launch, what is the one thing that you want them to think about or you think is important?
I really think it's important that you just start feeding them information about this coming book, and that is do aesthetic graphics in BookBrush. Get the uniformity and consistency right. And this is the graphic, this is an excerpt, you know, this is the link, and you need to do that a couple of times a week or whatever. I also think it's hugely important that they have something to go to. We've always said this, if you're going to release a book and hype it up, if you've chosen to hype it up, you need to send them to another book or another series or another, you know, there has to be something for them to go on to.
At the end of the book.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're going to invest a lot of time and money in a book and they've got nowhere to go, we talk about this so often, it's a pointless exercise.
Well, it's a waste, isn't it? It's a terrible waste.
Unless you're like Fifty Shades of Grey or Pride and Prejudice, I just can't see the reasoning behind that, you know. So I'll spend quite a lot of money on a new release, and I'll spend quite a lot of money on ads for a few weeks, because I know if they read this book for the first time at standalone, they'll read something else of mine if they like it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to, I think that's the thing. But also just one last thing, and I know this is more than one thing, but I just want to say just very quickly, it doesn't have to cost a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just get your book club followers up if you can, people, you know, Amazon followers, start pushing those sort of things on your Facebook page and your email.
Yeah.
Hey, so have you signed up for my book club?
Yeah.
Have you signed up and do you follow me on Amazon? Do you watch me on Goodreads? Have you signed up for my email newsletter? Free stuff and email newsletter swaps. So that's me. I'm sorry, that was more than one.
No, that's good.
That's all good. That is all gold, Wendy. Gold.
So just going. Part of that is, would you always do pre-orders now?
Yes.
As part of your strategy. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Works for me. Some people it doesn't work for, and I know that there has been implosions with pre-orders, but until I implode, that works for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and by implosions, it's when the glitches happened and the gremlins in the background and.
To no
Amazon and pre-orders have been cancelled, etc. It does, you know, these things do happen sometimes.
Awesome.
But we've lit the sage and we've done the dance, so that won't happen to you, Wendy, now that we've put it out there.
Well, the book's out. Job done.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you, Wendy, for being so honest and upfront and telling us all about your launch. We really appreciate that.
I'm sure them too much.
No, it's all good. It was really interesting, actually. There's a lot of stuff that I didn't, you know, you do all the stuff that we talk about doing, and it's awesome. I love that. So where can, if people want to find out more about you, where is the best place to find you?
Probably just on my website, wendyvaller.com or laniblake.com is my contemporaries, or find me on Facebook. I do have a reader group too, Wendy Vallers, Reading Vallers.
They need to go to TikTok.
That's just a bit of fun, to be honest. I'm on Insta. I'm pretty much everywhere. Wherever you want to go, you'll find me.
Yeah, like a bad smell.
Like a bad smell. I was going
to
say that.
You've ruined it, Trudy. You were so good till then.
So classy, right through the last.
And we can be found everywhere as well. And thank you very much to our patrons who are supporting us on patreon.com/spargirlspodcast. And if you join us at the $10 tier, you can come and join us at our Facebook group, our mastermind for self-publishers, where you can ask deep and probing questions and we will answer them. And sometimes even on self-publishing. So there you go.
Sometimes we will even do that. Awesome. Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of the Spa Girls podcast. We appreciate your time every week, and we're so pleased you were here with us. So we will be back again next week, same time, same bat channel. But for now, farewell.
Bye. Bye.